back again. Mike is back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
You've already
guess
done this
back.
Eminem intro before.
Have I?
Yeah, definitely.
Because really,
I remember cringing then and now cringing.
Shockingly disappointing, actually. The that's the Twitter masses that we are live on the air. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, not a normal day that we do the podcast, but we're giving you guys
this feels
a special
weird.
Pre-baby podcast.
Pre-baby.
As my pregnant wife stares daggers at me. So there will be no Joe for the most part for the rest of this week. And then we will evaluate my existence next week. If we are going to do a show, it will probably be later in the week, but fair warning that there may not be a show at all. So, but we'll let you know. We're doing what we can here.
We'll do what we can do. We're bringing life into the world here, people.
We are bringing life into the world. Mike is the engine of the pretty much my existence, both on social media, podcasting, and the blog itself. I'm incapable of doing things until Mike makes me do them. So,
it's going to make fatherhood interesting.
It will make fatherhood very interesting. So
remember to wash your hands before you hold your own baby.
You can all thank Mike for this podcast happening. He made it clear that we may miss 2 weeks, which was absolutely unacceptable, especially for all of our Patreon subscribers. So we are here. Mike, as usual, is making us do good things. And, who knows? My takes will be even hotter next time you hear me, because I will have no sleep whatsoever. And that has to make me somewhat delirious, right? Anyway, it is 8:02. I'm joined by Mike and Beth. Mike and Beth, how are you guys?
I'm great.
So very sleepy.
Beth is
tired from work, but she's great too.
She's also great.
She
Mike
may not
is
sound it
for
folks.
All of us.
I am
but she's
for
always great.
She's here for greatness. Harrys.com/BlueShirtPanther. Go do that. If you sign up and you get 9 other friends to sign up, I will eat a shaving cream filled cap, like water cap, with their amazing shaving cream, which, by the way, I really have to stress, smells. It is the best smelling shaving cream I think I've ever used. So if they can make a cologne out of it, that would be awesome.
You know what? After what you put me through with all the pie nonsense, I want you to put a little dab of it on top of a slice of pie. And then
that would be even better, because then the pie would be delicious and it would compensate for the disgusting, or I'm assuming it tastes disgusting. But anyway, Harrys.com/BlueShirtPanther, you get a free starter kit just at the paper shipping. So go do that. If 10 of you do it, I will eat the little thing of shaving cream. If 1,000 of you do it, I believe I said that I would eat an entire pie of shaving cream, which would probably kill me. So if 999 of you just want to do that, that would be great.
Don't do that.
Not
that would be bad.
Be the
if 1,000 of you do it, I'll hit Joe in the knees with a baseball bat.
Yep, there you go.
Now, if 1,000 do it, I'll lick shaving cream off Brady Shea. How about
that? That is taking a shockingly sexual turn. Is that for you or for us?
When was licking him not sexual?
Yeah, well, you're right.
Was it going to be one of my friendly neighborhood lickings? Or like what?
It was like a motherly act
why
of grooming.
Why is this a surprise
were,
all of a sudden?
If you were a cat
yeah,
of some kind.
That's right, yeah, like a motherly cat.
I don't know.
Yeah.
She's cleaning herself.
Just grabbing him by the scruff and...
Yeah, I'm doing my best to bring it to PG-13 waters. Help
yeah,
me
she's taken. She's had so much thought has been put into this. I have to say, I'm somewhat surprised, but not really. Although this is a woman who I'm going to say McDonough. When she interviewed McDonough, I asked if he like had good cologne, and she didn't even know. So I don't know how she thinks she's going to get close enough to Shea if she can't even get close enough to smell McDonough.
She's a professional, Joe.
I don't remember that. Also,
she's a professional.
He was skating, so I don't. He was skating with kids, so I don't think he was wearing cologne. I mean, I
no,
did
I think
like
it
touch
was.
Shoulders.
It was a Dunkin'
with him.
Donuts thing, wasn't it? Am I going crazy?
Yeah. No, it was a Dunkin' Donuts thing, but it would have been a very strange place for him to wear cologne to.
Well, I'm always wearing cologne.
Hmm.
I put on
and
cologne
fact,
right now.
And in fact, I think I actually told you that he was better looking than in person than I thought he was before.
I knew we discussed this at some point.
Yeah,
I like
well,
God, this though. This is the Rangers related content you guys pay for. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. Go do that.
Hey, I didn't start licking things or eating things.
No, but you did bring it to licking. I had a really crappy transition. Oh, go ahead, Beth. Do you have something logical to say?
No. I'm just thinking we should get back on safe ground.
I was going to, when I said only 999 of you order the Harrys, my transition was going to be horrible, but the Rangers are 9-2. See that? 9999. 9-2 in
That's
their last 11. I distinctly remember 3 podcasts ago, where we were discussing Vigneault's future with the team, and I named pretty much all the opponents that the Rangers are going to be playing up to this point, maybe even before this point. And I asked if there were 3 or 4 wins in that streak. Then the next podcast, Mike asked if there was even a single win in the next 4 games, and that was all before this little 9-2 streak. So, Mike, are you, is this surprising you at all? Yes? No? Maybe?
I would call it surprising, especially with McDonough out the last couple of games. It's,
I forgot about
like
that.
Like when we heard about the McDonough injury, I was just wincing. I was like, this is not going to be pretty, because as many mistakes as Ryan McDonough has made with just really kind of glaring turnovers that are very un-McDonough-like, it's also really evident that we don't want a third pair of Steven Kampfer and Mark Stahl. Yet that's what we've been getting, and somehow the Rangers have won. I will say the Vancouver win, the shootout win, better known as Jimmy Vesey win, was really ugly. But, you know, an ugly win is still 2 points. And say what you will, but Henrik Lundqvist is the reason why the Rangers are where they are right now with this 9-2 run. I don't know what the hell the plan is, if they're just going to continue to ride him until he's just ground down into like a fine powder. And then they realize, oh, the playoffs are here. And oh, I wonder why Henrik looks tired. But the Rangers brought in Pavlik to play, you know, with the assumption that he can play more games and help Hank out. And it really hasn't taken Vigneault and the coaching staff long to understand that the Rangers will win more often than not because of Henrik Lundqvist. So I'm not surprised that Hank is doing more Hank wizardry, because it's one of the most impressive things about him now is that we've come to expect like him being exceptional, even at this age. And it's also what makes so many Rangers fans lose their minds when people say, oh, he's off to a slow start, age is catching up with him. And it's like, well, of course it is. And of course it's a slow start, but that's what always happens with him. And then he kind of puts it together like he always does. And then he plays like the best goaltender in the world. So anything is possible with Lundqvist. And this is kind of, I think, what's happening now, because I got to tell you, after a couple of these games, I'm not really sure the Rangers were the team that deserved to win, but here we are.
Yeah, Mike said before the show began that he thought the Vancouver win was, I don't know, maybe one of the ugliest wins that the Rangers have had, and I couldn't disagree with him.
Not good.
It's interesting because you go from the win against, say, Ottawa, or the win against Carolina, where the Rangers just look absolutely dominant top to bottom. And then
the Rangers had 20 shots in that game against Vancouver.
There
was an overtime played.
And I praise the Rangers for holding Ottawa to just 20 shots in their win. So I don't, it's a lot of people, you know, I've made this argument before. What the Rangers are doing now at 9-2 is not all that much different from what the Rangers were doing then at 2-6. This isn't a drastically different team outside of KBZ being together finally, sort of better usage at the forwards. Defense is still a mess, but
and sweet Jimmy Vesey.
Well, we're going to talk about your movie, and it's not going to be as positive, I think, as you think it's going to be. Beth, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, it's just so... I feel like I never know which team I'm going to watch. And yeah, it's the game against Vancouver shouldn't have looked like that. And our piece is going to start falling off Henrik Lundqvist in March. And yay, Rick Nash scores goals and does amazing spinorama things. And,
oh yeah, that pass.
But yeah, I mean, the defense is there's gaping holes, and it's just really hard to imagine, you know, when you think about, well, hopefully getting to the playoffs, but when you think about the consistency you need for a serious playoff run, I mean, I guess this stretch is the closest we've gotten, but yeah, there have been some not very pretty moments in there. Some not very pretty stretches.
Some amazing moments.
Yes, no, some absolutely amazing moments. And you know what? Let's face it. We know that Hank is happier when he's playing all the time and he's playing like this. I am sure he would have a hissy if he was taken out right now, regardless of needing rest.
Yeah,
but for some reason Lundqvist never gets called the hot hand. Maybe we just assume that Hank's hands are hot or whatever it is that's happening. But yeah, yes, the hot hand fallacy. Thank you, Chris Kreider. So yeah, I'm making absolutely no coherent point whatsoever, but I guess I just I need to see things go consistently well a little bit longer before I can really feel like the team has hit a turning point and is on an upswing.
But Beth, the Rangers are in a playoff position. If the playoffs started today, the Rangers would be in the playoffs. Yeah, they're in the second wild card spot, which is a great place to be for no one.
Yeah, you definitely. So, I had a point that I just forgot. Well, this makes for amazing podcasting.
Paul Carey scored when we recorded before
too.
The
we
last
did.
Podcast.
We definitely. I
we
mean,
took
that's
a crap
this
on
is,
Paul Carey.
I remember. You reminded me of what I was going to say. Actually, there are really two sources of consistent offense for the Rangers right now. And one of them actually isn't all that consistent. The power play and the Kreider, Zibanejad, Buchnevich line. Outside of that, everything is hit or miss. You know, Nash, I think, is a consistent force, but he's not scoring enough to be a consistent force in terms of offense. You get your hits from Hayes, you get your hits from Miller, you get your hits from VC, and, you know, fast Grabner, but none of that is consistent. And that's not a great strategy for a team against better teams. That'll get you by the Carolinas. That will get you by the Vancouvers. That'll get you by the Ottawas. It's not going to get you by the Penguins or the Capitals or the Lightning. It's just not. And the Rangers don't seem to have a solution there because Vigneault has sort of taken – he has two strategies. Strategy number one is – I am going to break up KZB to try to move them around. And the only thing that that does is remove the only cog in the machine that's actually working the way that it's supposed to be. So I don't, he's moved Grabner up. He's moved Fast up. I mean, it can't last like this forever, but the point that I'm going to make about VC, first of all, this mindset that he is better than Buchnevich continues to exist, and it shocks.
Can I interrupt
me.
You for one quick point?
You can.
I just want to point out Jimmy Vesey is the highest scoring Jimmy in the league. there's only two players who go by Jimmy in the league, Jimmy Hayes, Jimmy Vesey. And Jimmy Vesey has 8 points. Jimmy Hayes has 6 points. You can continue.
What was I saying?
It doesn't matter what you're saying.
Because I thought Jimmy, Hayes was having a
Jimmy's
really good
per
year.
Here.
Jimmy Hayes. I guess I'm wrong. Maybe he had a good start. The thing is, you can be happy at having both VC and Buchnevich, and you should be happy at having both VC and Buchnevich because they're both Rangers. But in the grand scheme of things, VC should never come even close to a guy like Buchnevich's ice time, or even Hayes or Miller for that matter. VC is a third line player. At best, he's like a sixth forward. And I don't know if that may even be too generous. And I'm not here to crap all over VC because I do think he's a good player, but VC's a 20 to 25 goal scorer at best. And again, that is like top of the ceiling. So Vigneault loves him and for the most part gives him those big minutes. And there are games where he comes through and everything works. And the game against Vancouver is an example of that. I mean, he scored a goal. He nearly scored another. He won the game in the shootout. Fantastic.
He was a golden boy.
The golden boy. The media golden boy, for sure. But those moments are kind of few and far between, and that's okay because he's a depth player. But when you rely on him to be more than a depth player, that's where I think the Rangers are getting themselves into trouble. You play Nash till he's too tired to skate. Same thing with Hayes. Same thing with Miller, Zuccarello. I mean, outside of Kreider's advantage. But that's the other thing. Kreider's advantage and Buchnevich aren't exactly being driven into the ground. More often than not, they're not playing the most of all the forwards, which to me makes absolutely no sense. Buchnevich didn't get a single shift in overtime against Vancouver, despite probably being the Rangers' best forward. Zibanejad got one shift. Michael Grabner got a shift. It's little things like that that you don't look at. You might turn around and say, you know what? Excuse me. You're complaining after a win. You're a loser, nerd, you know, whatever you might want to say. But these are the
Those
things.
Are bad words?
They are bad words. These are the things that sink teams in the playoffs, or the things that sink teams against better teams. So, yeah, it is what it is. Love it or hate it, that's the way that it goes. You've seen this movie before. And the Rangers happen to be winning right now. The Rangers, but they're not doing all that much differently than they were doing when they were losing games. And that should concern you a little bit, too. I don't know if there's a trade on the horizon. I don't know if there's some big move, but it doesn't look like help is coming from Hartford, which at this point it shouldn't, because Carey and Desjardins are playing like 3 to 10 minutes a night. That's not a place for Letteri, as an example, or Tambellini to develop. So I don't know. I don't think I had much of a point outside of that. I would consider the Rangers' depth scoring to be adequate, but it's not consistent enough, and that's a problem too. Mike, say words.
I definitely agree with you. Like I said a lot of silly words about Jimmy VC. I think it was before the show. I was like wondering and talking to Joe and Beth about whether or not VC kind of needed a game like this where, you know, it was his show. And I think he's the sort of depth scorer that can do this, where he'll have
Mike,
a game. Yep.
So I lost you for like 10 seconds there. I don't know if anybody else did. Can you like repeat everything you said?
What if I don't want to?
Well, you don't have to if you really don't want to. And Beth, are you there? Because I was talking to you and you didn't even answer.
No, I didn't hear you talking to me.
No, maybe it was mine,
oh my God.
And I may have interrupted this for nothing. It may have just been
you're
me.
Having this is the nervous breakdown you have
though.
Before the birth of your daughter.
Did
you just
hear
started
Mike
not
the whole
hearing
time?
Things.
Yeah.
Okay, then
oh
just
God,
blame
Joe.
Me. Podcast people
you have
blame
hysterical
me. Mike, continue as though I said nothing.
I'm more concerned about your well-being, but I'll soldier on here. VC, I think, is a kind of depth scorer who will have games like this, and I think more importantly, he needs these sort of games. Like I was curious, just looking at you know what he did last season compared to this season. You know, he was a rookie and everything, and he definitely hit the college wall and all that good stuff. But you know, 5 goals in his first 24 games, and you know, last season he had 16 goals in 80 games. You know, he's kind of right where you'd expect him to be. And he's kind of filling a similar role. But I think what's most important is, unlike last season, he's getting no time in the power play. Last season, VC had 5 power play goals, and this season he doesn't even have a power play point. And the Rangers are really, and by the Rangers I mean Vigneault and company, are really asking him to try and make a difference at even strength. And they're doing that. I think he's not in a very easy situation to succeed, because when you look at Jimmy VC, you expect him to score goals. And they can be ugly goals, they can be greasy VC goals, they can be anything, but
greasy
puck's got to go in the net. And when you're not on the power play, that's really not easy to do. And when your line mates are sometimes, you know, David Desharnais and Jesper Fast, that's not easy to do. So I think it's a big challenge for him to make his mark this season. And him having a game like this goes a long way towards him kind of establishing himself in this league, because, you know, we forget he's not a kid, you know, he's 24 years old, but this is just his second season. So he may have the face of, you know, like a kid playing in the Little League World Series, but, you know, he's 24 years old and he's the sort of guy the Rangers need to provide depth offense. And, you know, 5 goals in 24 games sounds about right. It's, you know, it's not like blowing, you know, blowing the ship out of the water, but it's kind of good enough. But the problem, I think, is that a lot of the guys around him have not been good enough. And in some ways, you expect VC to contribute more offense, just because I think everyone knows that he's not a penalty kill guy. He's not a guy you want in the defensive zone. You know, he's not a guy, you know, you mentioned an OT. He's not a guy you want out there in that scenario. I think he is the sort of guy where Vigneault will tap his shoulder to move him up the lineup when he thinks he sees something or he wants to try and spark something. But yeah, he is, in some ways, he's rapidly becoming kind of a polarizing player, because I think there are people who appreciate what he represents and really like the idea of, you know, how the Rangers got him for nothing and he can be this depth scorer. And then there are people who are very much tied up in the Hobie Baker hype train. You know, they heard all this talk about where VC is going to sign. The Rangers got VC as this huge deal, and he started off like gangbusters last season, and then he hit that wall. And there are some Ranger fans out there that think he's a better player than Buchnevich. And that's, you know, that is what it is. It's just weird. You know, that's, there are also a lot of Rangers fans who thought that Merrick Malik was a very good defenseman. So it is what it is.
What was it, the 10-year anniversary or something of that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah,
the shootout goal.
Shootout. Yeah.
Through the legs. Just some quick numbers for you. Jesper Fast has 1 less goal and 3 more points than Jimmy VC does in 5 less games. And again, this is absolutely not the crap on VC train, because I think VC is a very good player. But it's important, like, the success of a team depends on a team's ability to know who they are and what they are. And thinking that VC is a guy who's going to give you 30 goals a year and should be playing in the top 6.
No. Yeah.
It's not there for you. I mean,
that's again, a better way to put it, Joe. I think that's the way you just put it is a much better way. It's like, who's
so,
what's more likely, Buchnevich being a 55, 60 point player or VC being a 30 goal scorer? And
yeah,
to me,
I mean,
it's not even a contest.
Buchnevich has 17 points in 24 games this year, and has been, that's including like the past 4 games where I think Buchnevich has been relatively dominant without really putting up that many points.
Yeah,
it includes that stay on the fourth line. I mean, here's the Rangers' real issue, though. Zibanejad has 22 points. The Rangers have played in 24 games, so unless I denote a different game total, the person that I'm talking about has played 24 games. Zibanejad is 22 points. Zuccarello is 19. Shattenkirk is 18. Miller and Buchnevich are tied for 17th. From there, you go down to Kreider and Nash at 13. Grabner has 10 goals, but only 12 points. And this is sort of like, if you look at the goals, God, Grabner has 10 goals. My God.
Yeah, 4 of them are empty netters, though.
Zibanejad is 11. Grabner has 10. Buchnevich is 8. Kreider has 8. Nash actually has 7, but then you get
Miller
to 5. fours. Miller has three, but Miller has a lot of assists. So the point is the scoring is really coming. No matter how you adjust this sheet, Buchnevich, Zibanejad, and Shattenkirk are at the top of the list in terms of points. So, or offense in some form. That isn't, it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just the drop off from that to everybody else is a bad thing. Mike brings up a good point. Four of Grabner's goals are empty netters. He has six goals. So he's not lighting the world on fire necessarily either, although he's still shooting at 20%. And goddamn, I will take that until the Rangers hopefully trade him at the deadline for a first round draft pick.
Didn't happen last year, Joe.
It did not happen last year. There's just there's a lot to dissect. And the more when Vigneault doesn't play KBZ 18 minutes a night and I get frustrated even after a win, the point is because you have to rely on the players that are going to give you the best chance to win. And playing a guy – and you know what? I'll give you a perfect example, an amazing example. When I was in college, we used to play video games, sports video games like Fiends, okay?
I hope this is better than my college story.
NHL, oh, yes, your dust ruffle.
Yeah.
It was like NHL 2009 or 2010, whatever it was. Delzato was like a 74 or something in the game because he was a rookie. I literally put him on every power play line. I was giving him, like, he was on the top pairing. I was giving him 40 minutes a night if I could because I wanted to score as many points with Delzato as possible. That's a video game. I wanted Zucker or Delzato to do really well, so I put Delzato in positions to do really well. You know, results be damned. That's sort of the way that this feels sometimes when guys like VC and Fast and Grabner are playing more than Zibanejad, Kreider, and Buchnevich. And that's not a great analysis to have for a hockey team. So it hasn't happened as often of late, but there, just again as an example, against Vancouver, Carrie and Desarnais both played like 5 minutes. So everybody's ice time went up. Buchnevich, VC, and Kreider played 17 minutes. That was it.
I didn't even realize you're down
basically two forwards. VC played 16 minutes. You know, it's just you have to play your best.
No.
Run them into the ground. The more Buchnevich plays, the better he is. Like it or not, that's just the way that it is. There's a longer story coming on this. I don't know why they don't use him more. I really don't. Bev, you say words now.
Who don't they use more, Joe?
I don't know. I mean, AV's usage has never made sense to us. And, yeah, the people you would think he'd be skating into the ground, he's not skating into the ground. And you think the people most guaranteed to put up points when the team needs them aren't put out there. And yeah, it's really hard to tell. And I think it goes back to something I think I remember you saying a little while ago, Joe. It's just not what AV doesn't seem to see the same team we see in terms of who can do what and where and for how long. And yeah, I mean, the fact that we're even having a conversation comparing the kinds of players that Buchnevich and VC are, I mean, all you have to really do is watch. I mean, I would think is just, you know, watch them under pressure with the puck and see what they do and how they handle it to, you know who's the guy, who's the actual elite one. I mean, at least as far as I'm concerned, but when things get moved around as much as they do, I mean, again, though, we never really get to see anybody sink into a role. I mean, it's great that we've had KZB. It's weird that they seem to get, I don't know, put in the timeout corner fairly often or just not given the minutes that we think they would have. I don't know. I mean, at least the defense TOI is starting to look a little more balanced, right? We no longer have Stahl and Holden getting more minutes than everybody else. I think it actually is Shea and Shattenkirk getting the most minutes now with McDonough out.
It isn't really, but the weird – so this is another, like, Paul Carey. We all crap on Paul Carey, and then he ends up scoring a goal. Holden has sort of become a reliable defenseman for the Rangers.
Don't say that.
Wait, who has?
But it's true. Holden. It's kind of it's It's where we are. Whether you like it or not, we're here.
You mean out
I'm
of
not,
who we
I will
have,
give you this.
Or as a...
Holden is better than Stahl and Camper. I'll give you that.
I mean, I'm not telling you that he should be playing more than Shattenkirk and McDonough and Smith, but I'm telling you that in the time that – in what he's done to this point, there are bigger issues than Nick Holden.
Oh, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, that I agree with.
This is not – but this is also not the tire fire Nick Holden of the playoffs.
Oh, God, he was a mess.
Yeah, I'm almost positive he leads the team in expected goals against. And I think he leads the team in what was it? Goal four percentage maybe. I'm just saying it has not been as bad as it was. Now again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to last. And also again, I'm not trying to insinuate that he should be getting more time than the better players on this team, because there are better defense. Like Shattenkirk, again, just like Buchnevich, should be playing absolute top minutes. There's really no reason for that not to be the case. But yeah, there's just it is what it is. Yeah, Holden leads outside of Kampfer, and I don't know if that's actually. Because he's played in so few games, Holden has the best metric of expected goals against for defensemen. Tony D'Angelo is actually at the very top, but again, he didn't play in that many games. So, but I don't think he's a long-term option for the Rangers at all. Just throwing that out there.
Holden,
I interrupted.
Yeah, Holden continues to vex me in many ways. I think he's perfectly acceptable. Yeah, what is a Nick Holden? I think he's perfectly acceptable in the third pair and a guy you can move up to the second pair if things get hairy with injuries. But, you know, the fact that he got more minutes than Shattenkirk in the Detroit game it definitely hurts my head. But, you know, it's I understand because Holden, for all of his faults and flaws, like he fits much better into the Rangers system than Kampfer or Stahl do. I mean, he seems to be a more mobile defenseman. He seems to have better puck skills in general. But I mean, I thought that Kampfer looked like an absolute mess against Vancouver and Detroit. There was the one play, I think, against the Canucks where he just got rocked with a hit at center ice. He was caught holding the puck too long and it turned into a Detroit rush. And I was just watching it and I was like, what more, do we need any more evidence that this is not working? And I say that with the caveat that I don't think now is the best time to bring up Tony D'Angelo, because I think you could definitely make a case. I think that the Rangers organization may have made the wrong call putting D'Angelo in the AHL, not just from a roster standpoint, but also from a development and like psychological standpoint with D'Angelo, because he's not being encouraged to do better and work on his issues off the ice if he continues to, you know, get jerked around and linger in the AHL when he keeps hearing and being told that he's so good and, you know, so promising young defenseman. It's a really weird thing. I think, like, it's very, very possible, and I know we talked about this before when the Rangers played Arizona, but it's really possible that D'Angelo could just end up being a huge bust for the Rangers. And that's a real shame because I know that we got a lot of grief and all of last season, really, for every time we brought up the name Clendenning. You know, there are people who don't really appreciate, you know, people who spend time on Corsica and Natural Stat Trick and look at analytics. And, you know, it was very easy to poke fun at the, oh, you think Clendenning will solve all the team's problems. And, you know, this is like Clendenning on a much more costly and frustrating scale, because it costs something to get Tony D'Angelo, and it cost
a big
something. Big
something.
Yeah, and you know, it's remember at the very beginning of the season, I talked to you guys about imagine how scary this defense is right now if there's a McDonough injury, and
yep.
here we are. And what does the defense look like right now? Well, it's honestly, in my opinion, just like this inconsistent crapshoot where, you know, the most reliable pair in their own end right now, it feels like it's that Shea Shattenkirk. And in many ways, like, I want that pair on the ice for 30 minutes a night, but you can't do that to them. And then, so who do you play Brendan Smith with? Well, I guess you play Brendan Smith with Nick Holden. And Smith, to his credit, you know, he got the Broadway hat. We talked about that before the show began, and he's looked better, but really, he really only had up to go. Like, he could only improve from what he was playing like.
Yeah.
But Stephen Kampfer still here. Mark Stahl, I have a big piece on Mark Stahl coming up for the banter tomorrow morning, because I talked to a lot of the banter writers and kind of get the consensus feeling that people think that Mark Stahl has been better this year, or if it's not better, then it's the phrase we hear a lot is Mark Stahl isn't a problem. And the problem, I think, with that assessment is that the expectations for Stahl heading into the season, the bar was so low. Really, he couldn't,
yeah.
It's like he couldn't fail because it was, you know, at least Girardi's gone. We don't expect Stahl to do anything. Stahl, interestingly enough, has never played fewer even strength minutes in his Rangers career than he has this season. He's playing just over 14 minutes a night of even strength hockey, which is average for sixth on the team. In other words, he's playing exclusively as a third pair defenseman at even strength. But he also has the worst goal differential during 5-on-5 hockey of all Rangers defensemen. So, like, there's definitely something there that's problematic. It's, and I'm not saying every goal against is Mark Stahl's fault, but the defense as a whole, and I think Nick Holden's a part of it, to tie it back to the other point, was like, this defense, I think, is very hard to figure out, and with McDonough out, it's only more vexing and kind of mercurial. I don't know what this defense is still, because we haven't seen Brendan Smith play like Brendan Smith. I don't think anyone really knows what Nick Holden is, including his parents. you know, Brady Shea is really good. Yeah, you know, it was one of those, like, they took their eyes off the baby for a minute, and then, like, the baby had, like, a full head of hair and, like, the 5 o'clock shadow, and it's like, is that still our baby? I don't know.
Is it even a human at this point? I do want to jump in, though, Mike, because you brought up something that I think is going to become an increasingly important storyline. It's kind of been brought up to this point, and it's the D'Angelo thing. His personal issues aside, which are going to play a role in these discussions
bad.
As we move forward, you know, for whatever, the Rangers may have made a really bad decision in sending him down, because the guy that I saw in the NHL was good. He was good. He ran a good power play. He made things happen. There was nothing about Tony D'Angelo that truly, truly stood out to me to say, oh, my God, this guy does not belong here. But in 10 games in the AHL, he's been a healthy scratch. He has 2 points, and only one of those points is primary. No goals. Adam tweeted the other night that we're entering alarmingly dangerous territory. And listen, if this is him going, I don't want to be here, screw this, well, shame on him, but shame on the Rangers, too, for not doing their research. But this is a problem because you lost Derek Stepan for the 7th overall pick. And I love me some Lias, but there are better options on the board. We don't need to get into that, though. But you don't – people say, oh, they traded the Rangers for cap, their Stepan for cap space. You don't trade your number one center for cap space. Terrible teams trade their number one center for cap space. So if they walk out of this with Lias Anderson and that's it, it's still a disaster. And
if D'Angelo doesn't work out, it's on the Rangers. It's on Jeff Gordon because they had to have done the research. They knew what they were getting. Everyone knew about the off-the-ice stuff. Everyone knew that this was definitely a handle with care prospect, like for want of a better term. And
I like it.
Say what you want, the Rangers did not handle him with care. Sending him down to the minors clearly did.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's on them. They chose at the end of the day, they chose Steven Kampfer over D'Angelo. And what have we seen from Kampfer? He's, I'm not here to attack
kinda
Steven Kampfer, but he's not an 82 game NHL defenseman. He's just not. And that's evidence for how to.
You don't want to walk away from that with nothing. You really you can't because D'Angelo has absolutely no value anymore. Was bringing
no
this
value.
Up ironically before the show. I was discussing with Tobias, who was just kind of running through just his annoyance at people just insinuating that prospects suck because they're just looking at an elite prospects page about Anderson. And I fully agree with that. The exception to that rule is an established prospect, a guy who's been drafted already that you're trading for, that, stuff
about. A guy
about.
Who's an 18
Rangers,
years old.
Yeah. Bingo. The Rangers knew what they were getting out of a 21 year old D'Angelo. So they walked into this, and for them to walk out with nothing, Lace Gordon up, shame on you. Absolute shame on you. You panicked, and everybody is suffering for it.
Are we really thinking that D'Angelo is just having a hissy fit, and that's why they're not playing him? I mean, is he?
It's gotta
I know
be
there's
in his head.
Major issues with him.
I don't.
But,
I don't think
would
he's
he
having.
Really tank his own career?
Didn't mean it like that. And if that's how it came off, I apologize. And Mike, you probably
No, I mean
point,
the conversation in I've heard that other places as well, that he's,
that
you know, in a snit, if you can't, if I don't get what I want, I don't want anything at all.
That would
you
be
know,
insane just, to me. What I meant it as and what I think it is, I don't want to be here. Like, I wanted to be in the NHL. I don't want to be in the AHL. And listen, that's a tough, mentally, it's very difficult and damaging, and it's why I freaked out so much when the Rangers sent Buchnevich down to the AHL last year. Some guys, it just gets in their head. It's hard enough to make the NHL without people telling you you're not good enough. So I don't think this is D'Angelo intentionally doing something, but I do think it's a mental thing. Maybe he's gripping the stick too tight. I don't know. Mike, you can say smart words.
Well, yeah, I think... You know, I'm not going to pretend that I've watched every game of the Wolfpack this season. I've caught a handful
every
of games, if that, mostly just recaps and stuff. But there's definitely, it's when you're in the AHL, you're surrounded by other guys who are working very hard to make it up to the show, and then guys who are kind of career AHLers. And when you reach a certain age, I think you've been there for a couple of years and you're waiting for your chance. And it's very rare that guys like, Paul Carey, all of a sudden at, 26 or 28 get their chance. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. And for a guy like D'Angelo, who's a former first round pick, Joe has talked about his scouting report before. This
scouting
was a guy
report.
Who he's supposed to be one of the best, most promising young puck moving defenseman in hockey. And you don't want to be in the AHL when you're Tony D'Angelo's age. This is not where he wants to be. I think that's very, very evident. At this stage in his career, there's only one place he wants to be as a 22-year-old defenseman. That's in the NHL. And 8 games, he had 1 assist. He took 1 penalty. All of his possession numbers looked great, but the Rangers, in his last 2 games, he played 5 minutes and 20 seconds and then 12 minutes and 46 seconds. And it was right around after D'Angelo got sent down that the Rangers started to kind of turn it around. And I think that is definitely, those things are not related to one another. I think those are not connected. I think this is just a case of D'Angelo kind of not getting the opportunity he really deserved, and it's having very clear and conspicuous drawbacks. And I think, you know, we can safely assume that he's probably not as motivated as he was a month ago or 2 months ago. This isn't the guy we saw smiling in all the Rangers promos on Twitter and social media and, you know, with the PR train they ran for him and all that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, where is he now? He's a healthy scratch in the AHL.
No bueno.
That's not acceptable. It's not okay. That's not
for
acceptable
anyone.
For him, but also, yeah. Exactly, Joe. It's not acceptable that the Rangers put him in this situation where whatever confidence he has is in a basement, I'm sure. But again,
yeah.
That's just operating under assumption. But the bottom line here, if you're a Rangers fan, this is not good. In no way
bueno.
Is this good, how this is going.
Nope.
No matter what comes of it, unless, like, D'Angelo just turns it around. And even then, you'd have to question whether or not you could have avoided this by...
Yeah. If you
know,
thought he was handled with care before this, the way the organization treats him for the rest of the season, it's 3 exclamation points after that statement. Because it's... How many times can you healthy scratch this kid or shake his cage or try to get in his head to challenge him and be better before it backfires, given what's gone on with him on and off the ice for the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. It feels crazy for a 22-year-old, but he only has a couple more punches at this. It's bizarre. And this is not at all the storyline we thought, you know, before the season began. This was more of like a, hey, fresh opportunity for this kid. Oh, scouting reports, so good. And now it's just, oh God, please don't let this be nothing.
Talking about good defensive things, and Beth, I think you mentioned this, so I'm going to let you go first. Is Smith back?
You know what? I said
what
the
hell was that?
That was the most accurate answer she could have given,
like,
because that's the real answer.
It was
it was my hold music.
Next topic.
I still think he's taken over the Nash mantle as the unluckiest man in hockey, or at least on the Rangers right now. It just looks like nothing goes right sometimes. Like, you're just so thankful, I feel, when he gets the puck and doesn't whiff, fall down, or get a penalty, that I can hardly concentrate on the rest of his game, because I'm just so positive that something awful is going to happen, because he just seems cursed, even if it isn't his fault. And I mean, there have been some dumb penalties. And there was that, that colossal whiff, right? Like right in the slot.
Mm.
You guys remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He had everything all lined up, and I think the game was still tied, and just missed the puck completely. And then it was a giveaway, and then it went back the other way. So it was just, I remember, Joe, I think you said something like, we're not going to see Smith for 4 years after that, or something like that.
Those aren't
so,
my run-to-you
I mean,
jokes.
I do feel like he needs a game where nothing, like, you know, nothing goes wrong. That doesn't mean everything has to go right. It just means nothing drastically wrong that I'm not seeing, you know, the comment, oh, there it goes, you know. I'm not holding my breath for him, and I feel like we're not there, quite there yet.
Vigneault seems to have become a believer. Didn't, Mike, you put something in that he claimed that the Vancouver game was Smith's best game?
No, I think it was Carolina. He called it Smitty's
best
game.
Don't ever correct me on this
podcast. That was a game.
God, is he still going to be a believer when McDonough comes back, though?
The Broadway hat. And Smith got the Broadway hat. He had that great primary assist.
And it would be him sitting for Camford. What did Camford do? There is nothing, absolutely nothing. I literally cannot stress enough the insanity of sitting Smith for Camford.
Sitting Smith and playing Camford.
You
want to
sit Smith for D'Angelo? Again, I can at least follow the trail of logic there. You want to get the kid going. You don't want him in the AHL. You want to basically avoid what's happening right now.
I have a great question for you, Joe.
I'm ready.
The most games Camper has played in a season is 47 with Florida in 2015-16. Will he eclipse that number with the Rangers this year?
You son of a bitch. Barring an injury,
47.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't see any way. I just don't. There's no. Again, if somebody gets hurt,
games
and
to this point,
he's obviously the next guy up, so be it. But no. What were you saying?
He's played 12 of the Rangers' 24 to date.
Puts him on pace for 41. But
yeah.
I don't. Unless McDonough is significantly injured, and again, God forbid, but. I just don't see it. Because who are you? If Smith is back, then Holden is the next guy out. And with the way Holden is playing and with the way he's being treated by this coach, that's not happening. So, but I do think, I think Smith is back. I think he's finally, you know, these guys have alluded to the fact that they're gripping the stick a little tight. They're not sure. They like knowing where their next meal is going to come from. And what I mean by that is they're not going to get thrown onto the bench if they make a mistake. And that's been a consistent issue during this coaching tenure. So I don't think that's an unfair thing
Beth.
To say. I'm ready to answer the question for Beth.
Beth, innie or outie belly button?
Me?
Yeah, no. If you were to have another baby, would you want your baby to have an innie or an outie belly button?
I don't even know what kind of belly buttons my current babies have.
That is interesting.
That's unacceptable.
First of all, the correct answer is innie. Outie is weird.
Well, yeah, but I started realizing. I mean, I assume they're innies because I think I would notice outies because they wear, you know, short shirts sometimes. So, yeah, they must be innies. But I can't even tell you the last time I pondered that.
Well, this is a decision Joe has to make soon. That's why I was asking you.
I don't think I make that decision.
No, I
think
biology makes that decision.
Yeah,
it's not like a circumcision.
Well, I know that, Beth. But doesn't it depend on how you cut the umbilical cord?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so at all.
No,
I don't think any of us are qualified to answer that question.
I think I am qualified. I
Beth
do know that.
Have you ever cut an umbilical cord, Beth?
What?
Have you ever cut an umbilical cord?
No, but I was awake for it both times.
Yeah, that's not a woman. Apparently, that's the man's job, as I've been told.
Joe, your traditional gender roles are offensive, and I don't want to hear about them.
The woman,
you know,
at
point
stands that none of us have ever
done.
Done
a lot of work, and really, you know, the final errands can be done by
whoever
is.
The little errands can be pushed to the men. This is the way that's been described.
Whoever the partner is, or whoever knocked her up in the first place.
Or if
we're
going
to have a whole lot
lazy,
of explaining to do
that?
At that point.
If the man is lazy or scared, a doctor will do it for you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you have a choice, Joe, obviously you go innie.
But I'm almost positive you do not have a choice.
Yeah, I don't think you have a choice.
You might want to mention it at some point.
I guess I'll have to now that you put it in my head.
Yeah, just be like, hey, just a heads up, we don't want an outie.
Yeah, I would prefer
an
innie
belly
button.
Ask if they have that form for you to fill out.
Yeah, what can I have the belly button request form, please? Thank you.
I'm sure it's like when you go to some I haven't been to a barber shop in a long time because I'm bald, but I'm like some
Harry's
you have
razors.
Different hairstyles and a little like chart, and you can be like, yeah, I like belly button number 7.
Yeah, no, you don't get the high and tight with the belly button.
I'll go
at all.
The high and tight. Look at you. You are just.
It was literally the only one I could think of that I knew the name
I'll take
of.
High and tight at least somewhat works for a belly button, so.
But you don't
I'll
want it.
I'll figure it out and I will report back, Michael, of what I've been.
It's pretty important, Joe.
I agree with
all
you.
Right. Well, now you've got a task. Now you've.
I have a role, right? I'm involved now beyond the initial conception.
Wonder if any Rangers have any belly button.
It is astounding how little the male actually does in the birthing process. Like from conception through the actual birth.
Pretty much worthless.
Yeah, there's no. I have really such a minimal role. Sad.
Keep your wife happy and safe. That's your role. And don't yell at her to turn down the movie before the podcast starts.
Well, that has to happen, Mike, for the podcast to go smoothly. Don't you want a smooth, high and tight podcast? Not ruined by fallacies about hot hands and belly buttons.
Harry's Razors Smooth, Joe.
Harry's Razors. Harry's.com.
What number, did Booch come out for the shootout?
3.
Oh, shit.
He could have killed it. And he did
he
not.
He was 3,
right? Right, okay.
So
was
he was good enough
was
to be used in the shootout, but not good enough to be used in overtime. Son of a bitch.
Bastard.
Whoa.
No, wait,
Kevin
you're wrong.
Kirk too. What happened?
No, you're wrong, Joe. It was Zook, Zibinejad, Shattenkirk, Booch.
Yeah, see, I thought so. He wasn't
Nash.
In the top 3.
Don't ever correct me again. I warned that.
Miller.
I warned
That's the second time you've told me not to correct you.
Well, yeah, no, and I
didn't
plan
even,
on you not doing
you
it for real.
You could have had a daughter with an Audi belly button tomorrow if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, if it wasn't for
you. Know what?
Mike
I don't know
saved
what to
your
tell
daughter's
you.
Belly button.
He could have. Absolutely could have.
That's why I'm going to be the godfather, buddy.
He is. Mike will lead my child to God.
Oh, my.
Who would be the best godfather on the Rangers?
Hank.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but Hank, you kind of want someone who isn't busy with their own kids because then they can, like, be like.
You want a fun bachelor.
Yeah, exactly.
Grabber?
Grabner's children, I believe. Even beyond that, now that I'm thinking about this, Zuccarello is 100% the fun uncle. The guy that, like, buys your kid fireworks when your kid is, like, 5 years old.
Yeah.
Zuccarello is a kid. Did you see him in the Winter Classic commercial when he was playing with the kids in the street?
Can I just say, 5'6"? I wish Zuccarello was a better actor.
No, he's freaking fine. He's Norwegian.
I'm sorry. I want that out there. I wasn't there in the moment when Zuccarello. Oh, that's you know what? Fair point too. Those Winter Classic jerseys are fire. They are fire.
I love them. I like them a lot.
I liked them until someone pointed out it looked like they had a toilet seat around the neck, and now I can't get that out of my head. I like the lettering.
Now you've
color.
Ruined
well,
it
now
for
I
everyone.
I can't get that out of my head.
Are you
well,
kidding me?
Now. Join me,
Rangers,
because
Winter,
that's what it's like for me right now.
It does not look like a toilet. It kind of looks like a toilet. It doesn't.
It kind of does.
Now I have to look
you know
at
what,
it again
Beth?
Because you freaking ruined it.
Beth, you screwed up big on this one.
Spent $240
okay
of Joe's money buying.
Yeah, he spent my money. Eh, it doesn't really.
I was gonna
look
get
wait,
your
what?
Baby a
who,
gift.
Who
but...
told you that? Who told you that? I
who told
know.
Me that? I don't remember. I don't remember.
I want to know.
How convenient for you, Beth.
You know, this
I
show was
probably
an hour.
Go look it up, but.
We set up an hour for this show, or I set up an hour for the show. That's right. Everybody in the chat got to listen to the whole full hour.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
Damn it. It does look a little bit like a goddamn toilet.
It kind of does. Beth, the Oracle of Calamity, she is struck.
It needs the strings. It needs the white laces. Why didn't they do the laces?
Anyway, I think
I just tell it like
is,
it is.
I think the jersey.
Oh,
is awesome.
You're right, Beth.
And I wish Zuccarello
awesome
was a better person. Actor. There wasn't. I wasn't there. I wasn't on the ice with them. That's all. Mike.
What do you want?
I don't know.
You probably won't podcast again for a little while because Joe will be child rearing. But so let's safely assume we won't do a show next week. The Rangers'
safely
next
assume.
Games are against Florida, Carolina, and then Pittsburgh, Washington, New Jersey, Dallas.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough son of a bitch schedule.
It's a lot of Metropolitan Division games, folks.
Yeah.
And Lundqvist has not gotten a break either, so.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Washington-New Jersey game, that's December 8th and 9th, that's a back-to-back. I think you have to get Pavlik in against the Devils. If Pavlik doesn't play at some point, he's going to start getting growing dust on him, so.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I think everyone who's listened to the podcast knows my stance on Pavlik. And I've heard very smart people explain to me why he's not as bad as I think he is. And I still stand by my theory that he was a terrible signing. And thus far, I think I've been proven right.
Who are we talking about?
Very smart boy.
Now?
Andrei Pavlik. It's hard to remember he's a Ranger.
He hasn't done anything.
Because he's been somewhat underwhelming when he has played. I know
you're
it's
tough.
Been a while.
You're a tough judge.
Joe, you're very soon you're going to smell like baby poo all the time.
It is what it is.
Stink like poo.
Patreon.com/BlueShirtPanther. Donate to us and, you know.
Put baby food on
the
table.
Maybe one of us will write an article about whether or not the collar looks like a toilet for our patrons. If you donate $5 or more a month, you get access to all of our behind-the-scenes stuff, which we haven't actually done a ton of late. Yes.
3 games started for Pavlik. He has an .886 save percentage.
Okay, but wasn't one of those games where he came in for relief and got smoked because the Rangers were playing like total crap?
I said
crap?
3 games started. He
Are those all his
five...
started figures or his total
no.
year figures?
When he was the hot hand?
They're the year
no,
figures.
No, he was the hot hand. He had one good game against Arizona. Remember when he played Arizona and the Rangers thought, or I should say Vigneault thought he was good? And then he played the next game against Montreal, and he allowed 5 goals on 43 shots. I rest my case. Pavlik not good.
The end.
Your case is not rested. Your case has been brought up.
You know what else won't be rested, Joe?
You're going to smell like poo and no sleep.
Yeah.
Sleepless
go to
poo.
One night, realize you got poo on your hands, and it's going to be terrible.
Meanwhile, Stanley's right here, not understanding why so much is changing. You're going to have a sister soon, buddy. You don't even know.
Did he get Stanley a
saddle?
Oh,
it's going to be hard.
You don't even know. No, but he's going to love her. He's going to love her. Anyway, patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. John J. Porter, Anthony Viola, John Reppy, John Alo, Alexander Gardner, Alexander Ricard, Robert Courtney, Guy from Montana, Daniel DeGen, Eric Cohn, Matt Bader, George Lipman, David L. Singer, Darwin Bushman, Grumpy Smokey, Scott Potash, Dan Lynch, Mike Offit, Chris Baker, Bob Kawa, Andrew Grigo, Stink Fleeman, Arch Williams, Igor Zetlovsky, Zachary Zetlin, Dan Carozzi, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kempner, and Michael Silvers. The fact that this is this long is awesome. Please keep donating. You will help us keep the entire show for free for everyone.
You guys are the best.
Final question of the night.
We appreciate you.
Final question of the night from a patron.
Uh-oh.
What the hell was Zuccarello doing between periods in Carolina when he was dancing? And did anyone see Brady Shea playing the guitar behind him?
Yeah. My favorite detail is Shea playing the guitar.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, no,
Brad Shea just back there
the
playing the goddamn guitar.
Zuccarello stands in front of the camera and ruins it.
Yeah, he did ruin it. That
everything
son of a bitch.
For everybody.
I can't believe I complimented him today. Yeah, okay.
All I know is that Zuccarello is everything I need in my life. God bless him. And he's a
he
fine
really
actor.
Zuccarello.
And again, kudos to him for not passing that overtime ending goal.
Yeah. He waited so long, I was like, good God,
I will
probably
still lose sleep even though that went right.
Yeah.
Because it so easily might not have.
Like watching a Michael Nylander shootout attempt. He's just like, I'm just going to wait until I see what I want to see.
Just waiting for
no,
the opening in the net. There is the opening. I'm going to score.
Joe, the next time we podcast, you'll be a father.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
Is he
excited?
Up.
Little person.
Yeah, little person. Little person. Okay. Yes, I'm excited. I'm ready. Let's just do
all
this.
All right, I got to go do work now.
Yeah, that hates us. And
all
is
right.
Also a whale.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We love you.
Yes, thank you. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. Harrys.com/BlueShirtBanter. I will see you on the other end of fatherhood, bitches. Peace out.
Oh, woo-hoo! My gosh. Good
dun,
luck.
Dun, 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 dun. Beth already hung up. God, she's the worst.
Well, you started singing. It seemed very final.
Well, what do you want me to do? This is the way we enter the podcast. This is the way we end the podcast.
I know.
Beth is away.
I love you, buddy. Good luck tomorrow.
Mike is getting away. Thanks. Bye.